topic of today's share, tshuva, wholesale or retail. Just as the wholesale and the retail business are very different than each other, and make very different demands, tshuva, there's tshuva on a wholesale basis and tshuva on a retail basis. We'll see. The point of departure, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, tells us, Vidui is a mitzvah sasei. A vidui is a mitzvah sasei. Ketzad. Ketzad is vada. How do you conduct the vidui? Oimer, Ono Hashem, Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshati, Lefanecho, Vasisi, Kach, Bekach, and I did such and such, where I nichamti, Uboishti, Bumaisai, Uloilom, and I chayzu, Vadova, Zer, Vizel, Ikro, Shavidu. This is the essence of the vidui. So the Rambam mentions here, Vasisi, Kach, Bekach. So he has to be very specific about the chet that he's done. Yeah. The Rambam talks about this in the beginning of Perek Sheni, Halacha Gimel, Kol Mizvada B'Dvarim, a person that said Vidui, but will Gomer believe Ol Azay, and he has not made a firm determination, Lazar, to forsake his lifestyle. That raises a doyimel, the table of the sheretz beyodim. It's like being toivel with a sheretz in your hand. Shein atvila mo elis lo achi yashtich ha-sheretz. His tvila doesn't help, though he throws down the sheretz. Yechenu oimer moide, one that says vidui, v'oizeh, and then forsakes the improper derech, as Yerucham will be forgiven. The Tzorach Lifrot is a chet, and he has to specify the chet shadema. Ono chato ha'om hazeh chato gidoyino, vayasu lahem alohi zov. And the Beit HaNeigel. So here we see that he spelled out the chet specifically. Now, even in the first parak, the Rambam says, "V'chol amar b'lez vadas and barach b'inyan zeh harezer b'shubach." The more that a person is mizvadah, is mayrach in the vidui, harezer b'shubach. And the source of that is this pasuk. As the Rambam says in parak beis halacha gimel, that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu how he said the vidui on behalf of Klal Yisrael before the Rebbe Shmuel. So the shayla is a very simple shayla. You hire an attorney to represent you. So what you want your attorney to do is to come to court and tell the judge, the jury, it wasn't so terrible. You know, look at it from this standpoint, this standpoint, this standpoint. That's not something so terrible. That's what you expect your lawyer to do. What happens if you hire a lawyer to defend you? The prosecutor finishes his case. And then the defense lawyer gets up to start presenting his case. And then he says to the judge, "Listen, Your Honor, I must tell you. The prosecutor did a very poor job. He barely began to scratch the surface of the guilt and the culpability of my client." He said, I had to spend money for. That's what I was lacking. So what happened there? Moshe Rabbeinu comes before the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he's trying to get him off the hook today. You know, not an easy task. But what did he say? On a chato mazeh chato gedayno. He builds it up. This is a phenomenal, a rip-roaring chet. That's what we wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be doing for us. So the Rambam learns, though, that pshat is that this is a chilek of the vidui on a chot ha'om, and therefore, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, magnify the chet? Because kol amar bo marach b'dvarim elo areza meshubach. This is a greater hakara, a greater recognition of where we erred. So in vidui, it's appropriate. And there's a whole issue of when it's appropriate to say Brigid. Because Bidur is a very dangerous thing. It depends on the disposition of the person listening to it. You come and you misvada. And if the person's attitude is of Midas Adin, so he smashes you over the head. Well, that's what you did, you know. If he's in a compassionate state of mind, so he accepts the contrition. The Rabbi Shalom, how does he accept us? With Midas Adin or Midas Aracham? So we'll see. Not every time is appropriate for Vidui. Vidui has to be very carefully prepared, and only is appropriate at certain times, but is highly inappropriate at other times. So in these two places, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam talks about spelling out the details of the Chet. In Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, Vidui shenogu bo kol Yisrael. The vidui, which is common for all of Klal Yisrael, aval anachnu chaton, that's the vidui. Uikra vidui, and that's the essence of the vidui. So here the Rambam says that what's the vidui? Aval anachnu chaton, uikra vidui. So what happened? The Rambam in Perek Aleph, and in the beginning of Perek Bey, says, Sorach lefarat ha'achet. And here the Rambam turns around, and it's based on a maisa in the Gemara that Shmuel stood up on the Shliach Tzibur. Kimot the Shliach Tzibur, la'aval chatonu, koma akari. Amino shama amino ikor vidui hayu. When he said, aval anachnu chatonu, that's when Shmuel got up. That's the essence of the vidui, is aval anachnu chatonu. So what happened to the fact of Pirat Achet? And here at the beginning, the Rambam told us that Vizeu ikro shel vidui. There he called it ikro shel vidui. When he after he said vasi sikach lebekach, and here he says who ikro vidui is aval anachnu chaton. What's the pshat? Now on the Rambam we can only speculate at the Teretz because the Rambam ultimately does not give us the sources, so we don't know what exactly the Rambam's kavanas were. But if we find parallels in other Rishonim, then we can assume that fits into the Rambam too. In the Meiri and the Chibur HaTshuva, there was a whole sefer on Tshuva, the Meiri. And he also gets into it, an issue that the Gemara debated. Do we have to specify the Chet? Or a general statement, Chatonu was enough. Now, we can see even in our Vidui, there were different parts of the Vidui. The Oshamnu is non-specific, ultimately, just about non-specific. It's very, very general in its descriptions of almost everything in there. The Alchet are very specific. So we see even in our Vidui that there are two different aspects. And one suspects perhaps even a combination of two different practices or incorporated into Avidui. It's a little one wonders, so what do we need the Oshamnu and Al-Chet for? And the two different stalls. But the Tochen, they came from two different standpoints. The Meiri relates, in the name of the Goyim, that there are two types of tshuva. So we call tshuva klolus, generalized tshuva, and tshuva protus. And tshuva, which is highly specific to a particular chaton. And he goes on to say in the name of the Goyim that if we do tshuva klolus, then there's no necessity to spell out the chaton. Whereas on tshuva protus, we have to spell out the chatam. That's as much as the Meiri tells us in the name of the guy. Which leaves us rather astounded. If I have two possibilities of how to do tshuva klolus and tshuva protus, so why in the world would I bother with tshuva protus? You know, If you come with it, if you drop something on the floor and you can pick it up with one little tiny piece at a time, it took up a million pieces to come with the vacuum cleaner and sweep them all up in one shot. So who's going to get down on the floor to pick them all up? So, but the notion of tshuva protus and tshuva klal, why do we have them? If they both exist, so what person in his right mind would do tshuva protus? And what is the tshuva protus and what is tshuva klal? And hence the title of tonight's shiur, tshuva wholesale arita. One can do tshuva for all one's chatan in one shot. But it is a very, very difficult undertaking. One can do tshuva little by little. It's not an easy undertaking, but it's a much easier task. As the Chazon Ish writes in his Kundras on Amunah and Bitochen, said the reality is, as we stand before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is one issue in life. Do we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam or not? That's the totality of all the issues in our Avodas Hashem. So why did the Balei Musar address us breaking it down into different meters? Because he says it's much easier to deal with it that way. You know, for a person to come suddenly and decide in totality that he's machmir himself before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's a wonderful thing to do if one can do it in a meaningful fashion. And he's now more humble according totally before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he was before, irrespective of any particular issues in his life. So the Chazon Ish said there are different, ultimately there's one ultimate question. Question is, in tshuva, there are different drachim in tshuva. Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya probably was tshuva klalus. He was a very sinful man, and finally he came to the realization that he's headed in a very, very bad direction. He says he ran off into the mountains. And he just sat down and he cried and cried and cried and cried and cried until he died. And Ishkoina Olomu B'Sha'achas, a very difficult task, a very wrenching task. But he managed to achieve it. But it's very difficult to reach such a level. A more down-to-earth approach to tshuva is where we don't humble ourselves fully before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam reflects itself in many different ways in our lives. And we can deal with the manifestations individually. And individually, it's a lot easier to deal with them than just in one fell swoop changing our basic attitude of existence. Now, that's the difference between tshuva klolus and tshuva protus, tshuva wholesale and tshuva retail. If we could achieve the means of humbling ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam fully, irrespective of any issues. What was Kabbalah Sater? Kabbalah Sater was exactly that. Like Klal Yisrael and Harsina, what did we tell them about Ishma? They're not for the Ishma. It makes no difference what the Torah says. It's irrelevant. Why? Because we are mekabel the Torah irrespective of what it says. So on what basis? That basis is that they machniyah themselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom fully. That's it. We accept the authority of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Whatever is involved in it makes no difference. So that was an awesome moment. Where Klal Yisrael collectively was mekabel upon themselves with the authority of the Rabbeinu Shalom. In most times, that achievement is beyond reach. And we have to face it issue by issue. And the manifestations are different. So each person has his own issues. Because we're always somewhere in the middle. When the Gemara says that Beinanim, what's the pshat of Beinanim? So one pshat in a Beinanim is that he's influenced by the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So that's the reality of most of us. We want to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, but we're imperfect. So the Yetzer Hara finds the weak spot, and that's where the Yetzer Hara rears its head. So the easiest way to deal with it is to focus on the places that are weak. To strengthen us, figure out how to strengthen ourselves in the areas that we're weak. That's the easiest way. Now, therefore, tshuva comes in different models. This tshuva, when we approach the core issue of what we're about. What am I in this world for? I'm a nivra, I'm here to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. And for that, if I approach tshuva from that standpoint, all I need to do is say one thing, is chatana. That's all. The specifics are not important. Because the yisoid is that I've changed myself fully. The details just flow from that. But the yisoid of this tshuva is I've changed the level of my commitment to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's it. The answer is chatanu. Meaning, I was insufficiently committed to the Rabbeinu Shalom until now, and I'm on a different level of commitment. Across the board. Not so good issue. If, however, I'm not ready for that, then chatanu was not enough. Because I really can't, I'm not ready to change myself to that extent. So chatanu was an insufficient statement. In reality, I'm not changing myself to that extent. So rather, where am I changing myself? In details. Historical fire tachet. Spell out the details. And perhaps that's the pshat in the Rambam, where the Rambam talks in some places of historical fire tachet, in two places, and in the third place he says, Chatono deho ikar avidu. It's enough. Ultimately, it is enough. That's the yisoid. But are we ready for that ultimate step in tshuva? That's something else. And perhaps that's the pshat why we have vidu in two forms also. Because we have to approach tshuva from two different ways, two different levels. First we have ashamna, which is tshuva klolus. It's almost no protum. In Oshamna. But what do we strive for on Yom Kippur? You know, in the wrong, we strive to ultimately reach a Madreya. And we hope, as we come back again and again to the themes of Tshuva, that we gain a little bit more inspiration, and we go a little further than we went until then. And that's why on Yom Kippur we have really 10 times on Yom Kippur. The approach to Vido is also twofold. It's Klolus and Ashamna. And in the specifics in Al-Khat. And perhaps, from this standpoint, we could look at something else. We hope.
We try, and then we wind up being back to
so we hope that with each Yom Kippur we at least make a little bit of progress, even if we don't get all the way there. We made a little bit more progress than a year ago, or a little closer to the goal than we want.
But the Rav said also explains why the last vidui we say is only a shamra. By Nila, it's only a shamra. It's not the rest of it. It's not the process anymore. It's only a kolos.
By this point,
either you've got to do it as one batch anymore. There's no time anymore to do it.
The problem with man is that even when we make the decision that, you know, we understand God is here, we're here, we have this relationship with each other, and we have that humbleness, we still then have to work every day within the year to adjust what we do and ask ourselves, are we really fulfilling by our actions this relationship that we're saying?
Yeah, that's life. That's the game of life. Now, there's something very puzzling, and maybe we'll come to that too. We talk about Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Now, I understand 8 days of Teshuva. I don't have 10 days of Teshuva. Look at what's Teshuva. Vidur, the Rambam says, that's what Teshuva is all about, is the Vidur. Rosh Hashanah. No Vidur. And if anything, to the contrary, one's not even supposed to say Vidur on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah is the time of Midas Adin, and Yom Kippur is the time of Midas HaRachamim. And when the Midas HaDin holds sway, then that's not the time to be Mizvad. It's a dangerous moment to be Mizvad when the Midas HaDin holds sway. So we don't talk about Chaton and Rosh Hashanah at all. We don't talk about Tshuva and Rosh Hashanah and the Tzivos. Yom Kippur, Chayla Varaseira, talk about Mechila constantly. Rosh Hashanah, Kaddish is over Yom Azikah. That's it. No mention of Tshuva. So what's the pshat of Yom Aseres Yemei Teshuva? The Morris says in Brochus that we have three parashiyos in Kriya Shema. Now, if we would have stopped after Mahayom Shemaya, so we would have a simple understanding that we follow the order of the Torah. Shema Yisrael came first in Parshas Eschanan, and Mahayom Shemaya was in Parshas Eikev, and Ramayla. That's the rhyme or reason for the Seder of Kriya Shema. But we included the Parshas Tzitzis. And in Parshas Tzitzis, it's from Bamidbar, from Parshas Shlach. So what happens? If it's an order of the Parshiyos in the Torah, then we should have had Vayomer at the beginning. So order, the Torah's order is no longer sufficient reason for us. So the Gemara talks about that Shema is first, because it's Kabbalah Somach Shemayim. Then comes Vayom Shema Tishmo Mitzvah, so it's Kabbalah's own Mitzvah. This Kabbalah's own Malchus Shemayim is an entity in its own right, before we even talk about Mitzvah. The Yisoid of Yadus is the Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah, what's the final passage? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the ultimate statement of Malchus. That's what Malchus is. The first parasha of Kriya Shema is Malchus. After Malchus, then we come, well, once we're committed to the Melech, well, what do we have to do because of that? But the first step is to be committed to the Melech. Rosh Hashanah and the Tfilis is Malchus. The entire Tfilis is Malchus. I've said oftentimes in the past that in Musaf, Rosh Hashanah, we have the longest Musaf of the entire year in terms of the number of brachas. Normally, in the structure of the Tefillah for Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have the regular three opening brachas, the three closing brachas, and one central bracha which deals with Kedushas Hayom. On Rosh Hashanah, we have three brachas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. We got Kedushas Hayom at the beginning, and then we go into Malchus, and to Zechronis, and to Shoifus. Now, if we look carefully at Malchus, Zechronis, and Shoifus, we will realize that Malchus, Zechronis, and Shoifus are all Malchus. Different manifestations of Malchus. Malchus is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is the one, the world is his. Acknowledging that Zichronus is an effect of Hashgacha Pratis. That everything that takes place in the world, everything is B'nai Shamayim. So we need, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is done and judges the world. That V'alamadinos bo yayom, Reizol Acherah, Reizol Hashem. Melech v'mishpat yamid oret. Rabbanu Shel Olam is shofet kol ha'aretz. The function of the Melech. Shofres. In one simple sense, shofres atruas melech po. It is Malchus. But it's beyond that. If we look at the text of shofres, it's what? Ato negleisa varan tvodecho. The Rabbanu Shel Olam revealed himself at Sinai. Matan Torah was not only a technical aspect that the Rabbanu Shel Olam gave us the Torah, but Matan Torah is Gilui Shekhinah. Matan Torah was the ultimate experience of Malchus in this world. The Rabbanu Shel Olam in Matan Torah said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and all of Klal Yisrael heard it. And they asked the Rabbanu Shel Olam, enough, because otherwise we're not going to live. We won't survive this. And the Russian says, hey, Tivo Asher Dibero, you're right. We heard the Rabbanu Shel Olam speak directly to us. Moshe Rabbeinu was at that moment established as the ultimate Novi. We find in Parshas B'Shalach at the Shira, Vayamina B'Hashem of Moshe Avda. But what is the Rabbanu Shel Olam tell Moshe Rabbeinu about Matan Torah? We're going to Mechol Yaminu La'olam. After Matan Torah, there could be no doubt about the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. After the Kriyas Yamsum, it's still at 100%. We're going to Mechol Yaminu La'olam. When the Klal Yisrael hears the Rabbanu Shel Olam intoned to you, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they realize the Rabbanu Shel Olam is communicating with you, then you are established. The Talmud's Rashi site in Chumash, they saw that Shemayim Imal V'La'oret Mitochas Inayit, that in Matan Torah they experienced the entire Bria, this world, the Lomos El Yainim, they sensed the Rabbanu Shel Olam in a sense that man has never sensed the Rabbanu Shel Olam before. This is the greatest Malchus is manifested in this world. That's Matan Torah. So the three brachas that we have, of Malchus, Zechonos, and Shoifus, they're all manifestations of Malchus. It's Rosh Hashanah as one thing. and that name is Malchus. The entire Rosh Hashanah, Malchus. And that's where everything is Melech, 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 Melech. Endlessly. Because that's the side of Rosh Hashanah's Malchus. If we understand Malchus, the Kabbalah's Omar HaShemayim appropriately, then the details can subsequently follow. And I thought perhaps that there is a very subtle vidui on Rosh Hashanah. In on Nusach HaTfilah, we have Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. So Rami says it's Iker HaVidui. And Avinu Malkeinu Einlonu Melech Ela Oto. That's the vidui of Rosh Hashanah. The realization and Lono Melech Ala Oto. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is everything. That's the tshuva, I should say. That's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. It's Ein Lono Melech Ala Oto. So, believe that Rosh Hashanah is focused on tshuva klolos. The Yisoid, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Melech. Boyrik ala ilam ala nivra at the Yisrael. Once we took that step, then we can deal with mitzvahs, details. We have to go to the Yisrael. I mentioned in one of the Shiurim and Shari Tshuva for Ramea Chodesh, what he had to say about Lashon Hara. But he said equally, it's a parallel thing concerning Tefillah. He said we're concerned with Kavanah b'Tefillah and all types of, we look for all types of tricks and means that will lead us to have Kavanah b'Tefillah. He said, but what do we really need? All that is fine, he says. We're not going to the core. What's the core issue? The core issue is Shivisi Hashem Benegdi Samad. If we sense Shivisi, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's presence, then what in the world would be the problem with having Kavanah b'Tefillah? So, we're dealing, he said, with the details without ever addressing the core issue. What's lacking is the sense of Shivisi. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam's presence. If that would be clear to us, then what would be the difficulty in davening with Kavanah? How can that happen if we daven without Kavanah? If we sense that we're aimed lifnei HaMelech. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam pal pa after the Egel, he had difficulty being mispala, the Kavanah. He was talking to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was talking to him. If we sense the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's presence, then there's no difficulty. And they found that Rav Chatzka Levenstein, the Chatzalik Livrocha, the Mashkiach of Mir, Ponovich, says that this is the Yisoid of Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. He said of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah is the aspect of the Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchus. The Yisoid of all the Chatan, the Chasoidus of Malchus. That's what we're out to do. That is what we're out to do on Rosh Hashanah. And from a certain standpoint, the Shofar is also a similar declaration. The Shofar, we talk about, the Medrash says that Ola Elokim B'Sfuah, Hashem B'Kol Shofar, Yudkei Vavkei. So Ola Elokim is Midas Adin. Mesura. Hashem b'kol shoyichu. That the Rabbeinu Shalom starts off al kisei din. They have din, Rosh Hashanah. But through the process of mitzvah shoyichu, as Hashem b'kol shoyichu, he switches to kisei racham. The impression we get from that statement of the Medrash is what is Shofar identified with? With Midas Adin or Midas Racham? Midas Racham. Rav Yonath and Eishet asked that the Gemara and Mayat Kotten, he brought one Raya and Elo Magalcha, and I brought a say, I had at least one more Raya to his Kasha. The Gemara relates that there was a person, a Gavra Allen, an underworld, you know, figure, who was the cause of a great deal of grief for a Talmud Chacham. So they went to the Beis HaKfaros, and they pronounced the Chayyim on him. The Gemara says they blew 300 shofars, and in short order, he met his demise. So you see from that Gemara that what the shofar. Shofar is a chelik of Midas Adin, not Midas Aracham. So Rav Yonath and Eishet said, so what's the pshat? So how is it that through the process of the shofar, the Rav Yonath goes from Kisei Din to Kisei Racham, if it's an aspect of Midas Adin? So what he writes is the following, that what do you do if you wind up in court and you have no defense? There's nothing to do. What do? There's no means of defending yourself. He said, there's only one thing you can do. You cop the plea and you put yourself at the mercy of the court. That's all you can do. The shofar, we acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shalom in effect is shofar for the Aretz. And that's the Rabbeinu Shalom on Kisei Din. That's what we acknowledge with the shofar. Now, once we acknowledge and through shofar, he says, we'll machni ourselves to accept the din of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, once we do that, that's the pshat, he says, we'll ma'arvei of the sotan. He said, what can the sotan do now? Well, the sultan is only useful, the prosecutor is only useful until the guy pleads guilty. If the guy comes before the judge, then he enters a plea that I'm guilty, so that's it, so they send the prosecutor home. There's nothing more to say, that's the end of his job. It's finished. Can't say a word. So we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and what do? We humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom. We say chatana, and we kabul the din upon us. From a kabul the din of the Rabbeinu Shalom, through that we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom, through the kabul his din, through that we zeicha to meet the saracham. Staff basis because shayfer is din. From a kabul the din of the Rabbeinu Shalom upon us. That is the yisoid of Rosh Hashanah. Mir of Malchus. Yeah.
How does being the problem has been, how does that differ from we said about before, somebody coming and his lawyer comes up and says to him, oh, Mike, you haven't even, the prosecutor hasn't even gotten to how bad
with Zaycha too, because the Rabbeinu Shalom is Moli Rachamim, Ker Racham V'Chanum, so when we're Mekabel the Rabbeinu Shalom upon ourselves, we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom, that evokes from the Rabbeinu Shalom Midas HaRachem. That the process by which we do it, but when we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom, now,
so
we don't dive in, but
Shofar
is a sign, yes, of a Makabal Rabbeinu Shalom as the Shofar Kol Haaretz, so we accept his Mishpat, we place ourselves in his hands. That's what the way Rav Yonatan Apshitz interprets what the Shofar is. The Avoida then of Yom Noram is in two aspects. One is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then is to deal with the details, the truth on the protum, on the details which come after that. As I said, vidui is considered inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah. To be going to at length all the chatoim that we've done, that's not the time and place for it. And I've often thought, I have even a little bit of a kasha on Nusach Sfar because of this. What's the essence of the slichas? What's the essence of
Hashem Hashem?
What?
Hashem Hashem.
I would beg to differ. I will tell you the role of the Shlosh Esrei Midos. I believe they're central to Slichas. But the ultimate goal of the Slichas, I believe, is Hashem. Is the Viva. But what the structure of the slichas? The structure of the slichas is the slichas themselves are to acknowledge our deficiencies, our chaton. And as we acknowledge them, after we each time that we acknowledge our chaton, then we turn to the Yud Gimel Midas and we attempt to so really, before we come to the full-fledged vidui, the slichas themselves are a certain focus that we're not where we belong exactly, but they're not exactly vidui either. But before we come to the vidui, we have a certain acknowledgement of our deficiencies, and we attempt to invoke the Shlosh Esrei Midos. To, for what reason? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that through the Shlosh Esrei Midos we can invoke Midas HaRachamim. And after that, then we first come to the Vidui. The Vidui is at the end, the Dafka. Because we're not so prompt to jump into the Vidui. We first want to know that we're Zoicha to the Midas HaRachamim. After we know we're Zoicha to the Midas HaRachamim, we feel we have a basis to believe we should be Zoicha to Midas HaRachamim with the Shlosh Esrei Midos, then we come to the Yoshamna. Which is a real, I don't really understand the Nusach Sfard. In Nusach Sfard, they first recite before Tachman, they recite Yoshamna, and after Yoshamna they do the Shlosh Esrei Midos. I mean, it would seem to me that the Seder should follow the Seder of Slichas. Elo. So I'm not sure why they have that Seder. I don't really know. I don't understand it. It could be rooted somewhat. It's only a partial answer because so why not put it in that order? I would have put the Shlosh Esrei Midos first and then the Vidui. But we find the following, that the Achronim writes that in the Tfilas of Yom Noram we have to be much more particular in the language that we use than any other time during the year. Since it's a time of din, so we have to be very, very precise in the tefillahs. And things which are so minor that they would not play a role in tefillah during the year, but we have to be makbid about, we have to be particular about them during the time of Aseres Yimei Teshuva. And that's, for example, they go in, there's a discussion of, we should say, so lachayim, lichayim, and they say that we shouldn't say lachayim, chsoyim, lichayim, toivim. For what reason? Because it could also be interpreted as lochayim, meaning that not for life. And in Yom HaNorom, we have to be very didactic, very particular, that everything should be exact and precise. So it could be that a whole year that we're not so fasted in the Rosh Hashanah, in the Seder, because it's not a time of Midas Hadin, it's not a time of Mishpat before the Ribono Shel Olam. Whereas in Yom HaNorom time, which is a time of Mishpat, so then we're much more particular to do things with the appropriate Seder. But I believe that that's the structure of the Slichas. The structure of the Slichas, its ultimate point is the reading. And the Slichas that we recite in the Shlosh Esrei Midos was an achonus to the reading itself. Now, are there any questions, anything that we've done until now? Okay, if there are, we'll proceed.
I did have one question, but
yeah.
Back on a small point, well,
that's all.
That it was only by Hanukkah that the Imam and Bashem by the most for the first day.
But it's not begam b'choyam minu le'olam. It would not have lasted for all of eternity. It brought them to a new level of amuna and Moshe Rabbeinu. But ultimately, and as the Rambam spells out in the Yad, in the eighth parak of Yisrei Torah, that what established Moshe Rabbeinu is that the Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to him, and we heard the Rabbeinu Shalom speak to him at our Sinai. Yeah.
A couple of the Rav said that Hashem was supposed to be a Shivakola. So why was he done for his video by Hashem instead of by Yochai?
No, that's why did he put it there? Because he wanted to follow the Seder of the Aleph Beis. So in effect, in other words, what the Chidah did was to combine the Chua Kolos and the Chua Protus in one shot. But that's what I would think.
That's why the resolution is bad to say bad to say a video without Havana. So that's highly inappropriate. So if one is a necessary for a minute with their dabbing up, one should skip it or not?
Either say it slowly. Well, one thing is certainly is in a false video is a very terrible chet. So if one's not going to have Havana, then one's better off not saying it.
Yeah. I think we get some practices very simple. Some people say we shall know a few times, but some people say only once.
Yes. According to the Arizal, you say it three times. And according to the Vilna Gaon, you say it once. And I will only explain to you the Arizal's reason. I don't know why he had a reason of one to three times. The Gros reason for wanting once, I understand. The Gros basically, because, as I've mentioned to you, the Vilna is double-edged. So therefore, vidui is not something that one should normally, I guess, perhaps only on Yom Kippur, with the extreme aspect of Midas HaRachamah of Yom Kippur, do we come back again to vidui again and again. But other than that, vidui is something to do and to go on from, because of the possibility, Chalila, bringing Midas HaDin with it. That's my understanding of the Gro. Okay, any other questions? Just let me add one more little thing. In the structure of the tefillahs, there's something peculiar. And that is, in the Shmoneh Esrei for Yechidim, where do we have the vidui? the very end of the Shmona Esrei, by the section of the Kain Tzar. The vidui for the Shliach Tzibur is where?
In
the middle, at the Broch of Kedushas Hayom. Now, the fact that the Shliach Tzibur doesn't recite the vidui at the end, because his tefillah ends, and Baruch Hashem we saw Mashalom, so he's finished the tefillah. Fine, but why don't we recite the tefillah in Kedushas Hayom? That's the appropriate time to speak to the Shliach Tzibur. So why don't we recite it then? Why don't we wait till the end? And the answer is that what role did Moshe Rabbeinu play after the Chet Eigel when it says on a chot ha'om azeh chato gedoylo vayasu lohem lo hezo? Moshe Rabbeinu, that was not a personal leader. In fact, personally had no culpability in the Chet Eigel. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach Tzibur. He was the Kohen Gadol, in effect. That came on Lifnai v'Lifnim, before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to represent Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol, we read in the Avodah, he came into the Kotcha Kotcha. And what did he do? Or in his preparation to go into the Kotcha Kotcha, where he recited many things, he did for himself, and for the Kohen, and for Klal Yisrael. He was Mitzvah for the Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu went on a chot to ha'om azeh chato gedoylo. Moshe Rabbeinu is being mispalel as the Kohen Gadol. He's mispalel, he is, his vidui is a vidui on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. When we recite vidui for ourselves, that's not on behalf of the Tzibur, that's on behalf of ourselves. The Shliach Tzibur on Yom Noron, but the role of the Shliach Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur is mispalo for the entire Tzibur. He's in the same role that the Kohen Gadol had. And that's why, well, before the Shliach Tzibur, what does he have? Hayeinu and Pifio Shluchei Amcha Yisroel. And we ask the Shachar Chema, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should push the Midas HaDin away from him. Because he's coming to represent the entire, he speaks on behalf of the entire Tzibur. The vidui is a central aspect of the avodah of Yom Kippur. And therefore, when the vidui for the tzibur, vidui for the tzibur is in the Brach of Kedusha Sayyam. That's a chelet of the avodah Sayyam. So the Shliach Tzibur recites the vidui in the Brach of Kedusha Sayyam the same way as he recites the Karbonos in the Brach of Kedusha Sayyam. Because that central aspect, in effect, of the Avodah of today. Because today's Avodah, that's ultimately what the central Brach and Shmoneh Esrei is about. It's about the Avodah of today. A significant chelik of the Avodah was the Vidui. So therefore, the Shliach is representing the Kohen Gadol. He recites the Vidui in the Brach of Kedushas Hayom. Whereas ours is a private, that's our private affair. That was not the Avodah of Klal Yisrael. That's our private Avodah. Our private Avodah doesn't belong to the Kedushas Hayom. That's the structure of the tefillah, what the Shliach Tzibur has divided in one place. And our vidui is dafk at the end of Shmoneh Esrei.
We also participated in the vidui, so it's that the first
time. That we did because we want to recite the vidui many times over. So. But that our participation is as yichidim.
That's also as yichidim.
That's as yichidim. That's not on behalf of the tzibur. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.